March 16th, 2019. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy day after the Ides of March. Took down Caesar. Took down Rock Action. Scotty Sutton. Love the man. And thinking about him and doing a boat ride in Sydney Harbor. Brother Matt's not here. He's unavailable. But I'm not man alone because the wonders of Skype, those engineers in Estonia, I got with me Christian and Mitch of Low Life out there in Sydney. Welcome aboard, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah. We start off the show with John Coltrane doing Big Knit, and then Low Life from the brand new record, Lad Life, which I loved it. Lad. We have this Oingo Boingo band. They had a they're kind of new wave, you know, years ago. Oh, was that guy? Yeah, Kim Gordon. Used to be with him before Thurston. Only a Lad. It was Oingo Boingo. That was it called. Only a Lad. So this is only the second time I've heard this word used in a song. So it's a great thing.
We gave Kim Gordon a shout out the other night.
Did you?
In between. Yeah, we like, I was, you know, like, that show was, you know, there was lots of, in Sydney, there's just a lot of cops and security guards, and they all come on stage, and it turns into a bit of us against them, and halfway through the set, I said, oh, this is a little bit the decline of Western civilization right now.
You're talking about that movie?
Yeah, we loved that one, and I gave John Doe an X scene, and Darby Crash, Johnny Thunders. Kim Gordon, all the heroes.
I can tell you, there's a dirty secret about that. When X is playing, they actually filmed it at Club 88, but they took the crowd scenes from the Fleetwood, so they could get the slamming instead of the pogoing. Because pogoing was a couple years before, right? Sid Vicious, and slamming was the new like the back of the Circle Jerk record guy, right? Yeah, Kerry drew this kind of. Iconic cat slamming, right? Pogo's up and down, and slamming's port to starboard, you know. So anyway, so there's some property rights issues. So the girls tend to flee, and boys take the shirts off and start going at it. But that's okay. At least that's the crowd with the crowd. When you got the hombre coming on and playing authority, that's so bad.
Yeah.
So let's go way back, guys. Who wants to go first? Christian? Mitch?
Go for it, man.
Me? Yeah, I'll go. Yep.
This Mitch?
Yep.
So your earliest, Mitch, your earliest musical recollection.
All right, so there's two, right? One of them was my mum was an Irish dancing champion.
Wow.
Australian champion twice. And she used to teach Irish dancing in this creepy memorial hall that in this little town I lived in. And she used to play I think it was at the time where that river dance shit came out.
With the hands behind the back.
Yeah, all that. Yeah, and so that used to torture me a bit. But like the first kind of, bagpipes were a big, I guess a big kind of thing, which ended up, they used to have this big Scottish festival in this tiny town I lived in, and there was only 1,000 people in this place, but they would have 300,000 people come and play bagpipes for 2 days straight, so I'm a little traumatized by that.
At least you still call it music. You know, some people would call it crazy noise, you know. So there's a mix. There's Australia, there's Ireland, there's Scotland.
Yeah.
What's the name of this town?
Absolutely. But
what's the name of this town?
Bundanoon.
Bundanoon.
Yeah.
It's a trippy name.
Had the highest suicide rate per capita in the Southern Hemisphere, still does.
I think Maritime in Canada is in the north.
Right, okay. It's good to know this stuff, you know. Avoid.
Korea's got a real high one, too, I was reading.
What's that?
Korea.
Yeah,
South,
right.
South of Republic, yeah.
I wonder why that is.
I think maybe a lot of pressure to succeed, maybe, you know, take the tests and this kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to catch up real fast after the horrible wars.
Yeah.
That's it. And the second one is just the first CD I ever bought was Run DMC, Tougher Than Leather.
Oh yeah, and I remember that one.
Yeah, and I bought that at it's St. Mary's Sanity, which is an area Christian's from. But what about you, Christian? What was your?
I'd say I'm a bit older and it's kind of hard to remember exactly, but I remember my mum and
dad. Well, it's a recollection, so it can't be a wrong answer, right?
But
it's like, what's your favorite color? It's no wrong answer.
Luke, you're wrong.
No, remember the Monty Python movie? They got across this canyon and he asked him his favorite color and the dude, he fucks up. Blue, no brown. Ah! Throw him into the fucking canyon. Anyway, what is it, Christian?
Yeah, like mum and dad used to listen to records a lot at home, but dad was a bit of a like Elvis tragic and would just always play like Elvis records, and that kind of scarred me for a long time.
It took
me
a lot. So it's bagpipes and Elvis. Bagpipes and Elvis.
Yeah.
Are a big formative drama for low life. Okay. Mitch, so yeah. Your mom was a dancer, but she didn't make music?
No, she didn't.
Was there any instruments in the house?
Not really. There was no real kind of, apart from the Irish dancing, there was no real interest in much, really.
Okay.
I mean, there was a lot of interest in kind of internal destruction.
Yeah, okay, that's great. What about at school? Were you in the band or the choir or the marching band or that shit?
I'm just trying to think. School, no, there wasn't really anything like that.
No music program? Yeah, it's a lot like that over here now, too. What about you, Christian? Did you do any music in school?
No, I can remember when I was in, like, about grade two or something, like, trying to join some kind of choir situation. They didn't... It wasn't really a big thing like in school here, but I went and did a tryout thing for it, and I got basically sung like three notes or something and told no.
You got tossed. You got the hook. Yeah. Hey, it happened to me, but it took 10 weeks, and it was clarinet. And the teacher was Mr. Luna, which means like moon in Spanish, right? And he says, Mr. Watt, you know, you try hard, but... you should stop wasting your time and my time. And he looks at the class, our time. So I was, you know, I must have been 12 years old, 7th grade, and I was just, I never took another music thing again. But I'm just curious, you know, because everybody's got their own journey through music. So what about the thing like after school in the basement or the bedroom or the garage, that kind of thing with buddies?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I worked at McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
And, there was the area that I was from, it was around the time, it was just after all the Ivan Milat serial killing. And the McDonald's that I worked was out near the Belangolo Forest. So, but it was like this big kind of transient McDonald's where all these people would turn up. And I worked there for, I mean, it took me ages, but I bought a drum kit.
Yeah.
Eventually. And yeah, like, But again, there was at that time for me in that area, there was just no one else who was really into music or really into like, or if they were, it wasn't music I was into, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure. So, what made you think of drums?
I don't know. I thought at the time, I thought it would be a good one to start with because I wouldn't have had to take any classes that was more primitive, you know?
Like sure,
I
could sure.
Maybe, learn on my own, maybe.
Sure. You know?
Yes.
So you didn't take lessons?
No. I just kind of, I used the first drum beat. Well, there's, you know, you do your first, like, kind of 4-4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second beat I learned, I call the year 8 beat. Like, it was like, I don't know, what the middle school beat, maybe? It's like the next one you learn, and it's like the Stone Roses kind of. The Stone Roses beat.
I remember them.
You still put that all the time.
I still do it, yeah.
Well, George Hurley from the Minutemen, the way he learned, he taught himself what he did. He bought the Who Happy Jack record and Billy Cobham Spectrum, a fusion guy in the 70s. And
right.
They got some headphones and just played to death those two records over and over, you know, jamming with it. where he used to make surfboards. He gave up the surfboard shit and traded for drums. And he taught himself. And that very unique, you know, the Keith Moon and Billy Cobham mixture. Yeah, very strange.
Oh,
but, you know, everybody has their own path. What about you, Christian?
Well, I kind of, like, my teenage years was growing up in the Blue Mountains, like a part of a place kind of like a hour or two west of Sydney. And there was, like, lots of, like, young kind of, well, lots. There was probably, like, a handful of, like, five or so young local bands that would play in these kind of community halls all the time, and they were basically, like, Ramones cover bands and Misfits cover bands, more or less, like, and that kind of got me really inspired and into it. And I made friends with a lot of those guys.
Okay.
And we started the band from there. But right. Just doing all, like, you know, Misfit songs and things like
that. Yeah, how'd you pick your instrument?
Well, I was, at the time, I was just singing because, like, I had no idea how to play an instrument and no real desire to whatsoever.
Yeah.
But then down the track, I ended up kind of just from being in rehearsal rooms, you know what I mean? Picking up guitars, mucking around and playing.
I call them practice pads because actors rehearse. We practice.
You
know, I've yet to see somebody who's going to go shoot some hoops, you know, practice basketball and say we're going to rehearse some basketball. You don't rehearse basketball.
And then, remember Alan Iverson getting angry about that quote?
I remember. You know some hoop, all right? Yeah, didn't he have a rap thing? His name was Jules or something.
Yeah,
I think that was his rap name.
Probably not his most memorable moment, but yeah, definitely.
Well, that guy could thread the needle. He could post real good. Okay, but look, if you ask me, singing is an instrument too. Your voice, you know, it's probably the first instrument. Either that or, no, maybe the feet, drums. Maybe Mitch got you beat. Look, I want to play a Gabbertron.
Yes, away.
life you're revealing, living you're stealing, your products revealing, the words have no meaning. Some creatures live in your brain, the dull twat, another driving your brain. Your social media game, it's gone flat, and now it's driving a shade.
Now free beneath this golden
Pedro Show. We just heard the beginning of that chunk of music, Gabbertron, which is, I've been enlightened to the fact that it could possibly be getting a ring intro song for WWF, or WWE, I think they're called now, wrestling intro. Then we had from South London, Crushed by Pimps with Meanin'. And from Cleveland, I Am the Polish Army with You Don't Know. Kay from Black Flag, with Devin Hoff, a two-bass prodigy they got, used to be with Nels Klein Singers. And the song is named after her, Kira. She got an Oscar for the Mad Max, not the original one, but the one a couple of years ago. She does sound now for movies and TV and shit. Blurt, yep, from England. I got to talk to Ted Milton last month. Beneath Discordant Skies, great cat. He's in his 70s, still doing gigs. Much respect. Guided by Voices, Bob Pollard's 102nd album. You guys only got 101 more to go, right? Catch up. Good morning, sir. And from Glasgow, still Houseplants. You okay? And The Fiction out of Long Beach. This got the late Josh Frisell. Something he did before untimely passing. And by the way, we lost my good buddy Richard fucking Bonney. Lost his little brother Steve. Beautiful cat. I never get used to losing people. It's hard. And finally, 92 by Low Life. Now, I was guessing maybe this is a date of birth.
No, it's an interesting, it's a bit of a combination of things. I used to live in a house and the house number was 92.
Ah, okay. Yeah. It was just a guess. It was just a guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 57, like 1957. Sputnik. Okay, let's get back to your journey through music, you guys. So, Christian, since you got in the bands first because you were around a bunch of dudes that were playing, or not a bunch, but at least some, and yep. Mitch, you know, with Man Alone, probably playing the records, right, Mitch?
Yeah, it was. I was just thinking back to what records they were, and
we probably wasn't like, Billy Cobham.
What's that?
Probably wasn't Billy Cobham. You know, I saw him with Mob Vista Orchestra when I was a teenager. He had 3 kick drums. It's not like he played them all at the same time. It was the way his body was turned. He could always play 2.
That's wild.
How would you like to fucking schlep that gear around, though, man? You need 2 boats.
Oh, that's our most hated thing is moving equipment.
That's the drummer's dilemma. And with bass, our shit's getting light. I got these boxes now from Brighton in England. A 1,200-watt speaker box that weighs 40 pounds. A fucking 1,500-watt amp, crown amp, 7 pounds. My whole fucking thing weighs as much as 1/4 I used to do, you know. That's what old punk spot is. Light little shit that's loud. That's anyway, Christian, some of these bands you were in, did you guys ever record?
No, not with stuff back then. Like, yeah, we probably did some little, like, 4-track recordings to tape and stuff.
But do you remember your first gig? Did this band have a name?
Yeah, it was called Meat.
Meat.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, and as I said, it was just, like, kind of, like, doing lots of, like, Misfits covers and, like, do you know the band The Hard-Ons, the Australian
band? Sure, I got to play with them once in Ravenna, Italy. They were trying to get into the country, no, via Switzerland. The Swiss wouldn't let them in because the van they rented had bald tires, which is smart, you know.
Yeah.
So they get new tires. But then they get in the country, but then the van catches fire and burns everything. So they used their jig. Fucked up.
It's so Australian, but you're like,
I think they got back together, right?
Yeah, they still play shows, and, like, they've got, like, a bit of a different lineup, but then they've got the original lineup with an extra guy now, so...
Okay, yeah, they were a trio when I played with them.
Yeah, so we do that kind of stuff, and some Meat Men covers, and some other... There was just...
Oh, fun, Tesco! You know, like,
Tesco,
yeah. He had a great fanzine, too, called Touch and Go. It turned to a label name or something, but it was a fanzine. He's a teacher up in, I think, Michigan.
All right.
So do you remember your first gig with Meat?
Yeah, like I said, we used to play in these like kind of like weird community halls like up in the Blue Mountains, and it would just be like almost some Lord of the Flies situation where kids would just take over this like empty space with a PA for the night. And
Lord of the Flies, not Lord of the Dance. Yeah.
No.
That was me, yeah.
And you're talking about the book by William Golden. There was a really kind of movie made of it in the early 60s in England where they used all amateur, like, little kids as, for the actors. It's a scary fucking movie.
It was, yeah, when I was 14, yeah. My English teacher, she was wild. She was kind of the only teacher I ever had that would, like, kind of was, I don't know, took any time, you know, we've all had one or two like that.
Sure, sure.
And she made us watch Lord of the Flies. And I was like, wow. it is quite unnerving, that film though, isn't it? It's quite
totally.
Sick. Yeah.
It totally is. And what's trippy, when the adults come, all of a sudden they go right back.
Right.
So strange. Yeah, that's very, Mr. Golden points out life ain't so simple. It ain't so simple. It ain't so gentle. It ain't so gentle. So, what about you, Mitch? Do you remember your first gig?
Let me think. Yeah, I think I do. I would have been, I moved to Sydney, okay. And I would have been maybe about like 17 or 18.
Okay.
And there was a venue called the Oxford Art Factory.
Okay.
And it just opened, and the whole sales pitch was it was like a bit of a Hacienda vibe, you know?
Hacienda.
And yeah, like
that's like a plantation from the old Spain era here.
Yeah, you remember the Hacienda, the club that Factory Records did in the 70s
in Manchester.
Oh, you're not talking about the real word. Okay.
No.
Yeah, Rancho. Hacienda Rancho. It's like a farm, a big plantation. The Hacidad is the boss, you know. Okay. I think I know what you mean. I saw a movie. It was a guy who made the Joy Division records. Right?
Maybe.
He kind of narrates it. He narrates, or an actor playing him narrates it or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw this movie. It's called All Night People or something.
Is it 24-hour party people?
Yeah, maybe it was that. Yeah.
Yeah.
My memory's terrible. I'm sorry, Mitch. You're at this Oxford Art Factory, and they're saying that they're kind of a variation of this England dance club.
Well, that was the pitch, you know what I mean? And it was like, it was funny because looking back on it, It was quite a big moment because it was one of those times where it was like coming from that area, the small town, moving to a big city, and then doing that for the first time. It was kind of like, oh, well, maybe you can, maybe it can be done, you know, like you can just kind of do it and you don't have to. And I wasn't playing drums. I was singing, you know, it was all right. I mean,
what was that band?
It was, Nevada Strange.
Oh, cool.
That was my first band.
Nevada Strange.
It was a little bit, very birthday party influence.
Ah, yeah. Great band. I got to see him once at the Roxy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It wasn't the one with the Phil guy on drums. This is where Mick went over to drums, so they only had Roland on guitar. But they had Tracy, you know, and they were incredible. They did a Stooges song. They did Loose.
Yeah.
Wow. We were talking about Tracy last night. And I was on the phone to a good friend of mine, who it turns out that he was best mates with Tracy, and also Christian's friends with Tracy's wife or ex-wife. Yeah.
Wow.
And but like we're talking that was the first record I used to drum to was the Birthday Party Greatest Hits, which coincidentally was a record where Christian bought when he was about 16. As well.
The one we were really into was Prayers on Fire.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Man. And then there's some singles, too, like Mr. Clarinet.
Oh, that's my favorite. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The friend catcher, huh?
Oh, I
guess. Hee-haw, hee-haw. I mean, that shit is so bitching. And Tracy was beautiful. There's a video of him at a German gig. He's playing bass, and this dude starts pissing on the stage, and he boots him. Ever see that? Look, we're at the end of the first hour, March 16, 2019 edition of Wap Pedo Show. Special guest, Lowlife from Sydney. Hold tight for hour two. March 16, 2019, it's the second hour. The Watt from the Pedro Show.
Thank you. Sugar mama, please come back to me. Sugar mama, sugar mama, please come on back to me. Now bring my granulated sugar, try to ease my misery. About you, sugar. Sugar mama, they've been bragging all over town. You know they've been bragging about you, sugar. Sugar mama, they've been bragging all over town. Now the bootlegger want enough sugar to make whiskey. You know I like my coffee sweet in the morning. You know I'm crazy about my tea at night. You know I like my coffee sweet in the morning. You know I'm crazy about my tea at night. Don't get my coffee 3 times a day. Great God, you know I don't feel right. Sugar mama, sugar mama. You know I wanna know where in the world you get your sweet sugar from. Thank you.
by the sea. There's a pair of lonely benches waiting for someone to accompany their lonely views. Towards a bright horizon, why refuse? A chance to reflect hard enough. There's so much to be seen. That's best is so horrific when you're not looking for something specific. Cool for giving trees and the sun's caressing rays. Come from the festival grows. There's everything can end in two ways. You listen to Jack Grisham and the West Coast Dudes, and then you too. As crashing waves enhance the tune. On a one-way basis, could be you, could be her, it could be both in different moments. Any bond grows strong, it's separated by impediments. If it doesn't work out, how does it stop being that raven trying to dig? That is it for anyone to claim.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Glamour from Low Life. So what's Glamour to you guys?
It's actually our favorite song on the album.
Okay.
At the moment, yeah. Because it's I mean, it's almost because it's like we tried to blend all this hideous kind of, or like things that we liked in music and thought we couldn't blend them together, mashed them all together, and we felt like we pulled it off. But it's kind of like I don't know, it's kind of ridiculous in a way. Like we love it, but yeah, we do realize that
it's, you realize it sounds like Ozzy Osbourne jamming with Sonic Youth or something.
We're aware, you know.
I've got a song, Needle Drop, in the third hour I'm going to play, and they actually titled their song Sonic Youth, so don't worry. And and look, I don't know if you ever heard Glenn Branca or Reese Chatham, but everybody, you know, owes somebody, so don't worry about that. You know, you can write a very original novel and not invent one word.
Yeah, but
or you can do Finnegan's Wake. Make up most of it. Yeah, okay. Then we had Ore Extract from Canada, French part, doing Four Winds, Old Heart, Ignity and Death. Or no, Dignity and Death. Ignity. Oh, what, you idiot. And Globe Amp after that, with Globe Lamp. She was on the show a couple days ago, Blinded. That's Liz LaFay. Taff Falco, great cat, brand new album. And the tune Sugar Mama Blues. Got to do a Christmas album with him in Memphis, 100 degrees in the summertime. The fucking mosquitoes were like murder. The details after that from Romania with For Anyone to Claim, Telomere Repair. I think they're Long Beach. I'm playing there tonight with the Dills. The fucking Dills. Beautiful band. Yeah, we lost Tony last May. He's a huge influence on me. And a tune called O'Connor Live. Deletions, Poverty Police, Philly. And then finally, Low Life with Rave Slave. This got something to do with dancing again?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that one does. Yeah, it's like influenced by a lot of, like we're particularly, me and Dizzy and Yuta, when we were going to a lot of raves and that. And, yeah, it's a little what would you call it? A little rom com, you know. It's like Love Actually set in a rave, you know. But yeah,
like that movie, the
that
Hacienda thing you were talking about. So let's get to Low Life. How did you guys start? How'd you meet each other?
Well, we started in this squat that we were living in, and it was originally with a different lineup, and Yuta, who rejoined, he started playing drums in the group, and there was four of us, and it was just kind of like...
Who's the fourth? There's you, Christian, Uda?
It was me, Yuta, and my mate Chris Collar. It was his birthday 2 days ago, so big shout out to him.
Okay, happy birthday.
And my mate Finn, who played in my first band, and we did that. We did a cassette tape, and we just kind of like I don't know. It was.
You mean the band came together, guys living in the same pad.
Yeah.
And yeah. Kind of, let's make a band. That kind of idea.
It wasn't even let's make a band. It was like, oh, what are you doing now? And it's like nothing. Do you want to have a jam? Yeah, we should set up that four track, and then it was like that, and then we did it. We did a Chrome cover as well.
Yeah. What's his name? Helios Creed. I've gotten to do a bunch of gigs with him. Yeah, he's living in Long Beach where I'm playing tonight. Yeah, I think.
No way.
Yeah, Peachy Way. No, I think he's still living there and stuff. He did a record a couple years ago.
Wow.
But anyway, so your first stuff was covering Chrome.
Well, we wrote all of our own songs, and there was just a jam, and then I came and like would write all lyrics over the top of it, get everyone to do gang vocals and that, and then we did a Chrome cover. We did like one or two shows, which were disastrous, and then
were they disastrous?
Well, one time the sound guy turned us off, and
motherfucker.
We just, the drummer kept playing.
Yeah.
And I socked him in the face, and it was like, it was just kind of like it turned into a brawl, really. And then, so we did like two shows that were like that. And then...
You mean the sound man turned the sound off at the second gig too?
Yeah. The second gig, I think... Well, what happened was Yuta, he turned up eating like he had bought KFC, and he didn't want to share it, so he ate it in the toilet of the venue.
In the toilet. And then, oh, the bathroom. Yeah.
The bathroom. Yeah. In the
kitchen. Over here, we call the actual thing you dump the shit in the toilet.
Yeah.
I know, overseas, yeah, it's more of a room, a chamber with you guys. With us, it's the actual. Vessel.
Yeah, just the bath. Yeah, the bath. Yeah, yeah.
The tiny round bathtub. Or exactly. You could, what do we call it when you're puking your brains out? Calling up Ralph on the big white telephone.
That's great. So we did.
He's hiding the chow. He's chowing in the head. Yeah. Because he don't want to share.
He don't want to share. And like, because at that time, like, the lifestyle we're living was pretty wild. And he didn't, like, if anyone got any food, it was, like, a big thing, you know what I mean? Like, it was, like, if you got KFC, it was, like, you, like...
You're living like a king.
Yeah, like, that was a moment for you and no one else, you know? And we got into a bit of a thing about the KFC, and,
Which is, I mean... I got news for you, that ain't the best kind of chicken, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people line up in lines in Tokyo on Christmas Day to eat that shit.
Oh,
telling him, man, fucking churches or Popeyes is better than that shit.
Yeah, I don't mind Popeye. We don't have it here, though. But I would hit it up if we did. A friend of a mate of ours, who's kind of like the secret member of Low Life, he does all the photography and stuff. We call him the chicken connoisseur, because anywhere in Sydney, you ask him anywhere, any suburb, where's the best chicken, and he'll tell you.
He knows, like, straight away. Those are very, very valuable connects. I want to play this song, Crash. What's this about, a car crash? Or is it about being tired?
It was loosely based on J.G. Ballard's book, Crash.
Oh, yeah, and
I kind of reappropriated the story.
Repurposed
Or the idea. Yeah.
Thank you. America, the price is cheap. Young men die for what?
Okay. I'll bring the chocolate. I gotta get some Lipstick City.
Live from Pedro Show. Yeah, we started off that chunk off of Crash. And inspiration was J.G. Ballard, incredible writer. V. Vale's a big supporter of his stuff, of their research publications up in the city. Then we had Sun Watchers and Eugene Chadbourne, Dr. Huge, Professor Huge, doing a Minutemen song, Price Paradise. Mini Beast with drummer of Mission of Burma, Peter. He's living in Provtown now. Ike and Sermon. The Coat Hangers with Stasher. I think two of them are Atlanta and one is living in SoCal now. And then finally, Danko Jones, Lipstick City. He's out of Toronto. So, Christian, when do you make the entry?
Into the band?
Yeah.
I guess me and Mitch played in another band beforehand for a little while. And
what band was that?
It was like a garage kind of rock band called the Disbelievers.
Disbelievers.
Yeah, and it was, and also the drummer, the current drummer in Low Life was in that band too, but like we played in that for a little bit together and then I quit and then wasn't really playing any music or anything. And then Mitch gave us, me a call one day asking for that drummer's number because the drummer had just left Low Life. Okay. And I gave him the number and then he rang back probably about 2 hours later going, actually, do you want to play bass for Low Life? And I said no, but then he said that he'd asked if I could fill in for a gig with a band at Black Wire Records. Remember that show?
No.
With Slug Guts. They're like, so I filled in for that show and then just kind of stayed in the band.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I wasn't originally going to do it all the time, but then just got stuck in it.
Yeah. How it is.
Like, but then we were, yeah.
There's an old, people from Africa brought over this whole story about the tar baby, right? Here to the U.S. And like, the Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox are always having this war, you know. So Brer Fox makes this little baby out of tar, you know, with little clothes. And Brer Rabbit walks by. And, hey, how you doing? And, of course, the baby can't talk. So he thinks he's being rude, so starts socking him and shit. And, of course, it's tar, so the more he fights, the more he gets tangled up. So Brer Fox thinks he has him. But the thing about rabbits, they can it's in a briar bush. It's with thorns, and they've got slippery fur. So he gets away from the fox. But the moral of the story is sometimes, yeah, the more you struggle, the more you strangle.
That's right. But I mean, like, so that would have been around about 2011.
But this ended up a good thing, though. That was a bad situation. We're talking about a good situation you got stuck in.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, so I didn't want to say it was exactly like that. It just reminded me of that.
Kind it
of
is thing. Similar, though. Yeah.
Okay. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, March 16, 2019. Just watch Peter Show special guest, Low Life. Hold tight for hour three. March 16, 2019, it's the third hour. Watch from Biro Show.
Thank you. Thank you. go mob. Did all the girls hear this shit? Want some hair around her legs? Ow! Searching all night long. Searching on and on. Searching on and oh my god. Look for a girl who needs a lover. Whose muscles like a micro cover. Want some hair between her thighs. Big old muff poking my eye. Ow! Searching all night long.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with Lust Forever, Low Life, off the new album. Then the Father Figures with Scorsese is a Hack. Whoa.
That's kind of... That'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Henry Kaiser with Elliot Sharp after that with The Trouble with Hoichi. Disuse, what's up with that? I got to do some John Coltrane with Henry Kaiser last month. Yeah. Total pants shitter. That's why I ask people about their first gigs. Because if I didn't have D. Boom with me, yeah, when I first started, and still, I get scared out of my mind to do this shit. LHS after that, Full Circle. DMF after that, Big Muff. And finally, National Debt with Radio Moscow, which is, Crane. He lives in Idaho, you to pimp. And by a town, Moscow, so that makes sense. So you did that one gig with them thinking it was going to be the only one, Christian, right? And then, so how long now have you been in the band?
Well, that would have been like 8 years ago, I guess.
Okay, so a long time ago. So you're fully 100% part of this new album, because I want to know about this new album. Where was it recorded?
So before that, like we did that one gig, and then like within 2-3 weeks after that, we started writing the first record.
Okay.
And then we recorded that record quite quickly, and then from that first record, it was me, Greg, and Mitch. That was the new version of Low Life, I guess. And yeah, with this new record, it's us again. Yeah.
And where was it recorded? The new one.
It was in this little, it was a place called Marrickville in Sydney with this kid called Mickey Grossman.
Uh-huh.
And it was in this tiny little, like, sweat box of a room.
he did a good job.
Thank you.
You know?
He's had little interesting...
My pop used to say, a poor carpenter blames his tools.
Exactly.
That's right. And an interesting fact about Mickey, his dad is Ricky Grossman from the Hoodoo Gurus.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
Small world. Well, I was talking to this cat from Perth named Pex a couple of weeks ago. Has a band called Zero Debt. And the guy who recorded their album, his uncle, it was Brian Hooper, the bass player who just passed away from Beast of Bourbon.
Yeah.
Which is very sad. He was a beautiful guy. And also Spencer...
Yeah.
They lost half their band. Tex.
Yeah.
I love that band, man. That version of Psycho they do is fucking great.
Nice. Yeah.
I got to see them. I watched every one of their sets that they did opening for the Stooges 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Great.
So, now you guys, did you have, before you got the sweat box, you had all the tunes written, or did you write in the studio?
Yeah, we had it all written bar like one or two songs, I think. All of it had been written beforehand.
So it was kind of quick then?
I'd say it was.
Well, I don't really remember, but I couldn't finish any of the second verses because I had a stroke and, and the cognitive, like, part of my brain, like, I couldn't do any, like, kind of problem solving or a lot of kind of creative problem solving.
Sure.
So it took a long time to finish all the second verses. But we got there in the end.
Okay. Man. There's a guy in town here. In fact, I'm playing with him tonight. The last. He had a stroke. He can't barely hold a pick. He's a guitar man, singer. And, that's really heavy. What does RBB stand for?
Red, Black, Block. It's kind of, there's a football team called Western Sydney Wanderers. Okay. And, the Red Black Block is the, that's like the members, or the ultras, like the fanatics.
And, you mean like, fans, supporters?
Yeah. Yeah, but extreme fans, you know, like,
knuckleheads.
Knuckleheads. But that club, before they came about, Western Sydney was really kind of divided culturally in terms of football.
Yeah.
And that team kind of brought all nationalities and cultures together. And so it's also, they're all about mischief as well. So it's like a collect collective group of mischief going on.
Well, in England, they got some violent ones. They're called hooligans.
Yeah, well, that's what they are. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Long story short. Yeah.
All right, let's listen.
Conscience, our only sure reward. starts bringing is that we can work together in the last analysis, and that what's been going on within the United States over the period of the last 3 years, the divisions, the violence, the disincentives of our society, the divisions, whether it's between blacks and whites, between the poor and the more affluent, or between age groups, or in the war in Vietnam, that we can start to work together. We are a great country, a selfish country, and a compassionate country, and I intend to make that my basis for running and over the period.
Welcome to a very special occasion. I am proud to present this very special tribute, over just in time for the holidays. Welcome, one and all, to the Sonic Snowman. And as always, I am Mr. Big Man, wishing you and I were then. Hello, son of you. Hello.
Wafra Pedro Show, RBB, Lowlife. After that, Stan was survived. I think the guy doing the sound tonight in Strong Beach is in the band Stan. He also does sound for X. Needle Drop of Sonic Youth, like I told you. Groove Crater Method out of up in the mountains here, Big Bear. That's Phil with Loose Booty on Third Stone. And finally, Lowlife with The Pits. Now over here, when we say The Pits, man, that's Lowlife. That's, you know, you've hit bottom, right? What's it mean for you guys?
Similar thing.
Yeah.
Similar. Like, but it's a, like, you're like, ah, that's the pits, isn't it?
You know why I asked? Because the first time Minuteman, you know, I went to England was with the Minuteman Black Flag, and I remember the pits coming up, and this guy used it, a guy from over there, for mines, where dudes dug for coal.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and they were all getting closed at that time. It was Margaret Thatcher. So that's what it reminded me of. I kind of figured your definition was like ours. What's your plan now? You going to tour? Yeah, what's it like to tour in Australia? Jesus.
It's a fucking nightmare. Yeah.
Like Canada. I haven't yet played Maritime. I mean, you guys, some big lands with a lot of space in between.
I guess the space in between each capital city, like if you were somewhere like the States or in Europe or whatever, you could probably stop at 10 places in between.
Exactly.
But
absolutely.
We've just got A to B, basically.
A to B, that's it. Yeah, but the shows are like, you know, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. We've never done Adelaide or Perth or anything, but... But yeah, each city's got a different vibe, so at least there's a difference, you know.
And when you do Brisbane and when you do Melbourne, you guys drive?
No. We usually fly because
Well, I just asked.
Yeah.
I heard about these guys talk about driving. They go from Adelaide to Darwin, you know. These big hell rides. Yeah, big giant semi trucks. They run over kangaroos and they all burn up on the transmissions and shit. I heard some weird old stories.
I think that we could die if we did that. Like, I think it, like, a lot of what I imagine that being is just like Mad Max. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So okay. So you'll do the three East Coast cities, and then of course Sydney's got suburbs and stuff, and you can play around there and stuff. And then what's the next plan? Work on another record?
Are you thinking that far ahead? Yeah, again.
Are you thinking that far ahead? Like, let's get another record going.
Well, as soon as this, like, I particularly, like, my whole hang up is that by the time the record's done, I'm already like, oh, what's next? You know what I mean? Like, I want to move on.
Right, it's called ADD or something, right? OCD or something. Where can people find you on the internet?
We're available on all platforms like Spotify, Apple Music.
Yeah, but is there a special Lowlife website?
There used to be a blog, but we're just we're on Facebook and we're on Instagram.
But that's other people's telephone poles you're stapling flyers to. You guys got to get your own website so you have your own fanzine. That's just a suggestion.
That's a good idea. I'm not saying don't put
your flyers on those other telephone poles, but have a home base.
That's a good idea.
You know, no filter, no middleman. That was the whole idea of the movement, right? It wasn't really about it's permitted.
It makes a lot of sense.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying, like, we find all that shit really confusing, like what you meant to, like what the status quo expects. Like, we don't understand a lot of that shit, but having your own website where you don't have to deal with anyone like cater to anything sounds good.
Okay. It's been a big honor for me having you on the show. Thank you so much. I love your story. Right. I want you to keep on keeping on. And you made a great record here. I can't wait for the next one. Can we talk again when you make it?
Absolutely.
For sure, man. For sure.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you, Mitch. Tell Greg hi to Abstania.
Will do, man.
Will do. He's a big fan.
I'm right back. March 16, 2019, edition of Wap for Pedro Show, special guest Lola. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.